Welcome to Tyler Sten podcast number 349. I hope you had a good weekend. Obviously, we've ended it with a loss to Exeter. And we're going to kind of go through that in due course. But, you know, the general consensus that you're going to get from us today is that it's still early days. If you don't want to hear that, switch off now, because if you're going to want to rant and rave, go somewhere else, because we're certainly not going to do that today. There's still a long way to go for this team to be ready. And here to kind of talk me through with that, as always, is Ross. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. It's early days in the podcast too. So, I mean, maybe give me half an hour and I might get really wound up about something, but, you know, not
yet. Yeah, well, it's early morning for you. Was it 10 o'clock for you?
No, actually, it's all right. It's just gone noon. So I've had a little bit of time. I've been working already. I've had my breakfast. You know, I had my breakfast, which, by the way, includes HP tangy and fruity. That's something that I get shipped over from the UK specifically. You know, you can take the boy out of Britain, et cetera, et cetera.
But you can't take the HP sauce out of him.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you very much, as always, to our sponsors, ZCZ Films. You know, we're going to continue to plough on with what we need to do, win, lose or draw. And here to talk about a loss now, we are going to get straight into the Exeter result in due course.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Right. Okay. Where do we start with this one? I think I said last week that we would lose this game, and I'm all right with it. And I'm personally still all right with it. I think it's very, very difficult at this early stage, as you know, as Ross has repeatedly said, you know, throughout the podcast that we've done so far, that, you know, if we're still losing these games in October, then there might be an issue. This team is new. It's kind of reasonably fresh, if you can use that word. And ultimately, what we're doing here is just seeing how they're gelling and how they're kind of mixing together. Ross, I know you kind of watched the game with interest, shall we say? Is that even a thing? Thoughts on the game overall to start with?
Yeah, I didn't think it was a great performance from Reading. But I think that the encouraging thing is that the first half is kind of how I see almost like this season going. Like, we are going to be run around by some pretty good teams in this division. League One is not a bad level of football. Like, there are decent teams in League One that are going to cause us problems. But then the fact that we were able to use the quality of two players that might not be available to all teams in League One to basically build a goal out of not a whole lot at the end of the first half just showed the quality that is in the squad. So I don't think it was a great performance, but it was somewhat encouraging to see that, you know, even within a bad performance, there are still people who can, like, stand out or produce a couple moments of impressive play. And again, you know, like, it just feels like they can play better. I'm not super worried about things yet. Like you were saying, I saw a really good quote from Carl Anker of The Athletic earlier this week, where he was saying, you know, August is just the second preseason. There's nothing that we should really be, you know, we shouldn't be getting super carried away right now, and we shouldn't be getting super upset right now, right? Like, Blackburn were storming away with the league in the championship at the start of last season, and then they ended up eighth or something like that. So it's really, really difficult to, like, really know what's going on in August. And I think you just got to look for the positives, and the positives are our players are showing that they have quality, and it is just about what you said. Can they gel? And as of right now, there's still some work to do there. So, yeah, not bad at all.
I mean, you know, of the games we've lost, scoreline-wise, we've lost by one goal. Mm-hmm. So Peterborough, Port Vale, Exeter, right at the, you know, 93rd minute.
I know, jump in. Ben, sorry, my apologies. But one thing that's quite interesting about that is we've only lost by one goal, and we also have the lowest XG against in the division at the moment. So we're not even conceding many chances as well as conceding goals.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my perception of watching the highlights and kind of, you know, looking over reports, but generally just kind of looking at the face of the game, is that we're actually trying to chase the game to win. You know, we're not in the dark days of last season where we're losing games because we're just absorbing so much pressure. And you know, of course, you can question the goal and you can say, well, experienced players should have done better and they should have done this and that. Of course, they're going to know that, right? But for me, at the moment, there is a kind of a fundamental lack of accepting that we're in this league. No one wants to be in this league. Like, with all due respect to League One, no one wants to be in that league. You know, we want to be in the Championship. We want to be competing at the, you know, middle to top level of that and kind of pushing on. But we are where we are. And, you know, the sooner kind of generically we accept that, and I'm not just talking about fans, I'm talking about the players as well. You know, they've got to be a lot more sensible. You know, and Ben Gober's book for kicking the ball away, stupid. It's needless. But, you know, we are still in games and we are playing better football than we have been. Of course, you know, we'd like more points on the board at this stage, but it really is kind of, you know, the reset that we all talked about and wanted, and or most of us did anyway, not everyone, of course. And it's going to take a while for this team to blend in. And, you know, the youngsters or the younger team, if you like, did really well in the previous two games. You know, it kind of, they get pretty much another opportunity to do that again in this game, which we kind of anticipated they would on the previous pod that we did. But it kind of proved to be a game too far. And I think Sellers now has really got to look at kind of having what his spine of that team is. You know, who are his dependables, who is players that are going to go out and do, you know, sevens, eights every single game, and kind of have that spine that we've lacked for so long. I know, you know, we'll talk about individuals in the mailbag as we move forward in this pod, but I know you were impressed with Big Kelvin up top again. What did he do in this game that you kind of feel, yeah, okay, we've really got a player now?
I wanted to make sure that we gave Kelvin his time this week, because I quickly moved away from him when we were discussing the kids in the mailbag to discuss Kalen Vickers and how exciting him and his floppy hair are. But Kelvin is the real deal already, right? Like, I'm very excited about Kelvin. We spoke about him having a very high floor last time out, which just means that the base level that he's going to give you, like you're talking about, giving us sevens, giving us eights out of 10 every time he goes out, the base level of what he gives us is just really high already at this level. We're seeing link up play. We're seeing a player who can drop back in. We're seeing and like help out the build up in the kind of the way that you'll see Kane do sometimes. We're seeing a player who's dangerous in the air. He was really, really troubling against Stevenage. I know that Stevenage have had some issues with defending free kicks and crosses and things like that, but he was really causing them a lot of issues. And just like the speed with which, I mean, he's still got footwork too. It's almost like a strange combination of Lucas Joao and Andy Carroll, but with more actual like running in him than both of those players combined, right? So he's just a player that lets you stretch the game vertically, which is something that Reading need to be able to do when they have a lot of pace in the team. And really, I mean, he's just the real deal already. I'm super impressed by Kelvin. He had one opportunity where he perhaps should have scored on Saturday, whereby Harley Dean put in a second ball across for him, and instead of trying to take the ball down, he seemed to think he had less time than he did, and he just headed it towards the goalkeeper. So I would have liked to see him do a little bit better there, but shortly after, he then shrugged two players off and put a cutback right on Aziz's foot. So yeah, he's doing things in games that are affecting both, you know, assisting and goal scoring itself. Just a really impressive player overall. I really like him.
Well, we'll come back to Aziz later on, so we've got a specific question about him in the mailbag, as you can probably imagine. You know, he's come in for a fair amount of stick over the last few weeks, and I think it's kind of reached the point now, you know, particularly after the game on Saturday, where he was kind of the, you know, human punch bag, if you like. But we'll come back to him. I mean, in terms of the game itself, you know, obviously we got back into the game with a, you know, a goal from Harvey Nibs, which I think is going to be a really positive thing for him. Changes were made at halftime. You know, brought on Yeardom and Elliot for and Bengay and Vickers respectively. Mm. You know, previous managers who we won't name on this pod anymore, because we're kind of still in therapy for that, if you like, is kind of, you know, the proactiveness of making those substitutions, and it's rare at this club that we've had managers in previous years that have made, you know, one, let alone two early substitutions. What did you make of Yeardom in particular? And obviously Elliot will talk about it in a minute, but you know, Yeardom's kind of not been frozen out, but he's kind of been removed for various other players, but he has been brought on at certain points in the last few games. What did you make of his performance in the second half? You know, was he potentially better than Mbengue? Same, indifferent? You know, how did you see his performance?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because last week against Stevenage, Mbengue was one of the best players on the pitch. But this week, like you already mentioned, he kind of had a petty moment where he kicked the ball away and received a yellow for it. And so last week I thought that Mbengue was quite a bit better than Yeardom. And then this week I thought Yeardom was better than Mbengue when he came on. I mean, I think the thing with Yeardom is that he's just getting on a little bit and he's played a lot of football. And so like I'm not sure he can like sustain the level of like running that we've seen out of him previously for an entire game anymore. Hopefully I'm wrong about that. I really do hope that I am. I will say that one thing about like Yeardom being brought on for Mbengue, and like you mentioned, McIntyre being brought on for Carson, and that being a very common set of substitutions that we're seeing. I actually think that's linked to one of the structural issues that we're seeing that is a little bit more concerning, that's a little bit more, I can't just put it down to being August sort of thing. And that's whereby we seem to be getting one side of the field will get targeted against us wide each game. And either Carson or Mbengue or whoever will have a tricky game because they're really being targeted over and over again. And either Nibs or Aziz or whoever it is in that second level of the midfield are kind of struggling to do everything in terms of stay internal, hunt the ball down, but also like support their wide defenders. So I am seeing a lot of teams come into, you know, the wide areas. Again, we're not producing many expected goals against. So like if teams want to cross in against us and over again get the ball headed away, that's great. Just gonna make sure the ball actually is being headed away, right? So yeah, I guess we started with Yeardom there and ended up talking about what the structural issues are that might be causing Yeardom and McIntyre to come on. They're trying to shore up those wide areas where those players are getting a bit run around. But Yeardom himself, I thought he was better than Mbengue on Saturday. I'd be surprised now if he went before the window closed, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, we've got until Thursday midnight, I guess. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be unlikely that we're going to get players out the door now. Is it even more likely or less likely that we're going to get players in? Don't know. I'm not sure. I think if we had another couple of weeks when we weren't in the position that we have been over pre-season, then, you know, you'd probably look for another right back, I would say, and look to kind of move Yeardom on, potentially, would be my opinion. You know, left back, you know, we talked about a lot, and striker, I still think we need as well. But it's going to be very, very difficult to get all of those outgoings and those ingoings done by, you know, what, 2, 3 days' time. So we'll wait and see on that one. I kind of, you know, thinking about the youth players and where we're at, how far away do you think? So let me kind of track back a little bit. Hypothetically, the squad stays exactly as it is and the window slams shut, or however you close a window or whatever on the 31st of August at midnight. What is our best team? You know, do you think the Sellers is kind of pretty close to getting that? What's our best squad? You know, do you think that he's kind of moving along in terms of finding some consistency of the personnel that he's got? Or do you still think we are, you know, 4 or 5 weeks away from having that opportunity?
That's a good question, and I wonder if we are going to see a, you know, a week in, week out starting 11, or if there's going to be a little bit of movement in there, because we have a lot of options, especially in the middle of the park. When I was watching on Saturday, I was thinking to myself, especially in the second half, while I didn't think either of them were incredible, it looked to me like Elliot and Savage could become, you know, a pretty good technical midfield partnership. I like what Hutchinson is giving at the moment. I think it's important, you know, especially when you go away for the first time with a bunch of kids. But I don't know, man. I don't see Hutchinson lasting much longer than half the season injury wise, let alone like play wise. You know, I'd really like to see some of those young players start to get blooded in. But then that made me realize I'd completely forgotten about Lewis Wing, who would also be staking out a claim for that. And maybe Ben Elliott moves a little bit further up, but that moves Femi Azeez out of the team. So, you know, there are actually selection headaches. And so I don't necessarily think that we'll have the same 11 each week. I think that we've got, you know, 14 or 15 players who are there or thereabouts. I haven't even mentioned Mamadi Kamara, who could also play in that that second line of the midfield on the right-hand side. So, and with Smith coming back as well, I'm not going to be super upset if the window slams shut and this, and it does slam.
I guess you do slam a window, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't slide, depends on what mood you're in.
Right. Exactly. You don't slide a transfer window shut. That's not violent enough.
It's a bit soft.
That's too soft. Yeah. We'll work it out by the end of the pod. But no, I'm not going to be that worried. If this is the squad that we go into, the first half of the season with, we've still got a lot to see from Harvey Nibbs. We've still got more to see from Harley Dean. That we've still got more from Wing, Elliot, all of these players to see. I would just get these players some game time at this point and let's see what we have. And for me, this isn't the season we go up, unfortunately. This is the season that we get ourselves consolidated again. We get minutes into the legs of these young players and we work out what the team is. So, yeah, I don't necessarily see there being a starting 11 week in, week out.
Well, we sit 16th on 5 points. Would have been six, but obviously got, you know, deducted one. Cambridge next up in the league. Obviously, we'll talk about that towards the end of the pod. And obviously, high flying Ipswich on Tuesday night, tomorrow night, because we're recording this on Monday afternoon. We're going to kind of end the recap there because we've got specifics to talk about in the mailbag, which will kind of lead me to another recap, which is quite nice. So we'll be back with you after this short message.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Right, mailbag. Dave, and then there's like millions of numbers after his handle.
Well, we won't make you read all of those.
Yeah, I'm not going to read those out. He just says, we're all disappointed. Who wouldn't be? But at the end of the day, nearly all of them are kids just starting the journey. And on another note, the abuse Azeez is getting is outrageous. He's not blameless, but he isn't the only culprit either. The team needs time to gel. The big thing from other media outlets was the team selection. And that was kind of the question posed to, or the question style, if you like, posed to Ruben Sellers after the game on Saturday. And the two really in the firing line were Azeez and Hutchinson. Now, obviously, you can look at Hutchinson's involvement for the goal that effectively cost us the game, but there's still a bit of work to put gets into the net, if that makes sense. So again, we're looking at collective responsibilities. I mean, let's talk about Femi Azeez, because obviously he is really now coming in for quite a lot of I think abuse is a bit over the top. Like, I don't see people going out and kind of, you know, being really, really aggressive, but he's definitely a scapegoat at the moment.
Yeah.
What have you made, not just to the start of this season, but generally his kind of career as a Reading player to date?
It's tricky, isn't it? I think he's been a little bit like the victim of expectation, because he came into the Reading team, 2 years ago now, at the start of the 150th season. And I think he scored two goals relatively early on in his career. So I think he's always been a player that we thought was going to be like the next Elise. Like, we'd just gotten rid of Elise at the time that Azeez really came into the team. And so I think that, you know, we'd come from that, seeing a kid come into the team and just completely boss things mentality. And then we got to see a little bit of that from Azeez and we're like, oh, great, we're going straight back into this. And obviously he hasn't quite worked out like that. He's been injured quite a bit in the last couple of years. So that's kind of caused some issues too. But I certainly see him as being a bit of a lightning rod player. When Reading aren't playing well, he does seem to get picked on more than others. I want to start off how we discuss him with this comment from Ruben Sellers, which I thought was really interesting. He says, "We need to help him with some strategies, but he's working on it. He gets into some fantastic positions to score. He can accelerate the game. He can move himself in tight spaces, big spaces. He can press. And I think we have a really good player in Femi." I think that's actually a really good summary of where he's at. He gets himself into some fantastic positions to score. That is undoubtedly correct. He was on the end of a Ben Elliott pass where he almost put the ball in. He just missed the post. He got himself on the end of a Kelvin cutback, which it was right in front of the goal, but it was in traffic. So you can understand him not putting that in. But he's the player who's getting into those positions, whether he's playing it all the way up top or he's playing in the wide positions. And he can accelerate the game, meaning that he can really change the tempo. And that's something that's like super important to breaking down defenses, right? So having a player like that around is important. And he's a guy who always wants to take on his opposition number as well. That means that he loses the ball a lot, right? And he does erratic things. But I think to a certain degree, you need a few players like that. Otherwise, you just end up in this sort of passing circle on the outside of the opposition's box, just going around and around and around, looking for some sort of entrance and not really finding anything. With Femi, at least, you've got a player who is going to turn around, look at his defender, try and go around him, potentially lose the ball. But if he doesn't lose the ball, we might end up with a cutback like the one that Nib scored from this week. So, yes, Aziz does some things that are frustrating every game, but he's also evolved with nearly all of the actual goal scoring from Reading. So, tricky player to analyze, but I think we have to be patient with him and kind of look at him over a half season, over a full season, once we get that out of him with his injury record.
I think first of all, I think it's good management from Sellers personally, because I think it's come out and kind of go, yeah, we've got this player and these are his qualities. I think if I'm a player and I'm getting a sense that I'm under fire from the fan base, that's going to encourage me. You know, it's similar. I mean, I don't want to give him any credit at all, but Russell Martin a couple of weeks ago at the Southampton fans forum, you know, someone was criticising the goalkeeper and saying we need a new one and all this kind of stuff. Gavin Bazunu, I think it was. Yep. And, you know, Russell Martin just came out and said, look, he's great, he's this, he's that. You know, he's had problems. The whole team has had problems, but we're sticking with him and X, Y, Z. And, you know, and if you're a player, you're like, yeah, this is actually what I need to hear publicly, not just privately from a manager. And I was really pleased that Sellers came out and said that. I think as a fan base, we have a love-hate relationship with wingers. You know, when Jimmy Kepa scored, everyone joined, rather, and started, everyone was just massively indifferent. You know, how Robson Kanu, you know, people either go, yeah, he was really good or not. And now obviously he's kind of changed perceptions over the years with some of the comments that he has made, and that's by the by. Bobby Convé took ages to settle, you know, and once he did, I mean, he's one of my favourite players of all time. So there's a number of players in history that you could look at and say, we're not massively kind to wingers at this club, I don't think. This, you know, look at last season. You said obviously he was injured. I think he was pretty badly handled by the name we shall not mention. And that takes a little while to get out of your system, right? So diving on players at this early stage are just, people can do what they want, but for me, I don't think it's particularly productive. You know, he's not a big player for us at present. He's not taking up huge wages. He's not throwing his toys out of the pram. Like he's just trying to make a name for himself and do what he can for this club. And it, you know, it's not working out for him currently. We all know that. But, you know, it's up to Sellers and his team to kind of manage that, really. Good question, though, because it is one of those where certain players do get kind of slapped about by this fan base. And it's a strange one, really. Two questions now about Wareham. We had one from Laurie Johnston last week who was talking about Jaden Wareham, who was currently sort of with the under-21s in the Premier League too. You know, is basically, Laurie Johnston says, is he close to signing? And Mike P, again, you know, Mike comes up with some really good comments, you know, most of the time. I'd like to know whether we plan to offer Wareham a deal. Kind of the second part of the recap, really. I was lucky enough to be down the Whitley Arena, if you like, on Friday night to watch us play Newcastle. And, you know, they were great. They were really, really good. First half, I thought they were absolutely excellent. And specifically on Wareham, he's a good player, right? He is very, very feisty. He's very strong. He doesn't give up the ball. He likes to play with his back to goal to start with. You know, he was doing really nice kind of link ups with Billy Clark, who's the other guy that we've got up front. And overall, you know, obviously scored a goal. You know, great ball in from Sam Paul. Nice header from Wareham. Even better celebration, I have to say. You know, proper kind of Noel Hunt-esque, if you like, in terms of the backflips and cartwheels and stuff.
Oh yeah,
he's a good player. Like, you know, there are a lot of good players in that team. They do lack a little bit of experience, obviously, because they're under 21s. But you know, in the game that they were faced, you know, they were down to 10 men, sort of halfway through the second half. And really had to kind of see it out. You know, Newcastle were basically camped down the halfway line and further up, just pumping balls into the box. And with injuries and everything else, I think we ended the game with no recognised centre-backs.
Okay.
So it was a collective unit. You know, they've got a lot of confidence there. They're really, really well drilled. And Wareham is part of that. Now, whether or not he can do it in League One, absolutely no idea. But again, like a lot of these other players we've got, he's a wild card, yeah? So the more you have, at some point they're going to come good. And he's not a player that you go, actually, do you know what, mate? Nah, you're fine. And if I would imagine, and I would really, really hope that the recruitment team are doing their absolute best to get him in, it might depend on players going out. I don't know. I'm not sure. I've kind of lost track of where we're at with, you know, the kind of the finances of it and who we can and can't sign. But actually, you know, there's a lot of positives in Jaden Wareham. And I think he could definitely cause problems, you know, moving forward in the Premier League too, but also potentially, you know, off the bench in League One or
yeah.
starting in
the way you were saying,
Caelan Vickers has done. So
you wonder if he's you know, if it's a case that we need to get some people out first. And I'm wondering if the reason he hasn't signed yet is because, you know, there are scouts from clubs in higher divisions watching yeah. him while he's
but, you know, he's in a team who knows his strengths. You know, it was very clear that after sort of three games or whatever they've played, that they're gelling really nicely, not just as a forward unit, but also as a kind of an actual, you know, 11 players on the pitch. You know, Harvey Collins in goal, outstanding. And I'm sat there thinking, why do we need Pereira?
Yeah.
You know, like, if he's playing like this, he kept him in a game. Honestly, he was absolutely fantastic. So that's just my little bit on them 21s. And you know, I'd encourage anyone, if they're at the stadium or you can get to games at Bearwood or whatever, because sometimes they do that,
yeah.
get down and watch them, because they were really, really impressive selling that first 45 minutes.
Yeah,
thank you for those questions. We didn't have many this week, which is always the way after a defeat. But actually, do you know what? Sometimes it's quite good just to chew the fat a little bit longer on those questions and go from there. So, yeah.
On that you're kind of getting into, it is good of them. I mean, it's good, you know. The club's done a lot of things that have led to it not really connecting with the community in the last little while. It is worth noting when they do open the stadium, you know, twice in a week for us to see. Well, I think it may be even three times in the week with the women's team as well doing some sort of meet and greet in the last week.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
Open yeah. the first team practice and then making the Premier League 2 fixture available on a free. There's a lot that needs to change at the club still, but this is the progress that we want. And this is transparency in a way, so it's worth pointing out what we do want as well as what we don't want.
And it, you know, there was a lot of people there and it was free, and you know, obviously they've got to have stewards and pay for them, you know, no drinks and stuff. I mean, they did give away free water at halftime, which I suppose is a touch, but yeah, it was just good to be part of it. You know, it's just nice to be down there. We are going to head into more games now. We're going to talk about particularly the Ipswich game and then the Cambridge game, which is a week today, which is quite scary, really. So we'll be back in just a short moment.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
Right, okay, Ross, two games coming up. Kind of nice gaps in between, really. Let's talk really about the Fizzy Cup game tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Down at the Select Carleton Stadium against the high-flying Ipswich, who currently sit, I'm just going to flip over my piece of paper, sixth, which is not bad for a promoted team after four games. Playing some really nice football, involved in an absolute thriller, really, against Leeds at the weekend. What are you expecting from us in terms of this game against the Tractor Boys?
Ooh, that's a tricky one, isn't it? Because you would say, oh, well, he'll just go in and play the kids in the Fizzy Cup like you usually would. But then the kids are, I mean, the kids are mostly our starting lineup at this time. So, do we try and put in like something like a starting lineup, like a proper first 11 against a team that are pretty good. And if they put their main players out, I don't expect this to be like Millwall, who have had a pretty meh start to the season. I expect Ipswich, who are still in the culture of winning, still a club with a very good vibe around them. I don't expect them to be disinterested against Reading. So yeah, tricky because there's probably some players to bring in and get them some more time if possible. I'd like to see a bit more of Harley Dean maybe, because I thought he was all right against Exeter, but clearly in need of game time. So yeah, it's a little difficult to say what you even do. You could say play the kids, but that's just our starting lineup right now. So
It's tricky because we have got, as you said earlier, we've got Smith, we've got Wing, we've got Kamara. Obviously, Bindon won't play or won't be involved in the squad anyway. There's four players that you'd have in and around. Obviously Savage came on as a sub against Millwall, scored a fantastic goal. We didn't really talk about that, but he did superb. Do you just take those players completely out of the mix and go, okay, you need a rest and we'll go again for Monday? Do you look at it and say, well, actually, we've got pretty much a week, having had the game move from the Saturday to the Monday to be able to recover and plan for Cambridge? Don't know. It's difficult, really. Sellers has come out and said today it will be a mix between the players who played today and some of the others who will come in. So there'll be some changes because we need to take care of our players. Everybody's working hard and everybody deserves an opportunity. And the cup gives an opportunity to give some minutes to players who haven't been playing regularly for us. He's kind of talking a little bit really there about some of those players that are on the fringes. You'd probably expect Carroll to come in potentially and at least be in the squad. I would imagine that Tom McIntyre would start. I really hope that he starts in midfield because I really want to see him there. And I think he potentially is, as I've said previously, the next Sam Hutchison, but hopefully without the injury problems. You're looking at maybe Yeardham starting a game. Like there's players there that really you'd look to kind of try and rotate, but we still need to be in this mindset of trying to win games. And Ipswich, I would imagine, given their league position and their schedule, will probably rest quite a few first team players that they've been using over the past couple of weeks. I guess the other question really is, does Tom Holmes feature at all?
I don't think so. I think that Ruben Sellers likes his centre backs to be able to pass effectively, and that was actually a little bit of an issue with Harley Dean this weekend. It was very, very noticeable that he was not Tyler Bindon in large stretches of that game, especially when Reading were building up. I don't think that Tom Holmes has the technical ability that Sellers is looking for. So I have a feeling that if any player is going to go between now and the end of the window, I think it's going to be one of Carroll or Holmes personally. Those are the two that I'm, in my head, I've partially said goodbye to. I will one thing for this week coming up. I think this is the week of Ben Elliott. I've seen some good stuff from him so far. The pass that he played onto Aziz's right foot for Aziz's potential chance to take the lead in the Exeter game was really, really impressive. He did start to, it's actually a little bit funny. He got a little bit overconfident and started to fade because he was trying to throw a few too many turns and things like that in there. But I think there's a player in there. So if we can get him a full 90 minutes against Ipswich, then yeah, we could expect a good week in general from Elliot.
And I guess this is it as well. You look at Paul Macairo as well, and you think, well, actually, hold on, he's kind of been a bit part so far. I think he came on in like the 70th minute or 75th minute or something on Saturday. That this is probably a good game for him to win. And like you say, have some minutes. I guess the other question mark really, and it will be really telling to see if he's involved, is Guinness Walker. I would add him to the list of probably outgoings because if he's not featured in tomorrow's squad, I would say that he's out. Whether on loan or permanently, I don't know. But I if he's not making the squad for tomorrow, with all due respect to the competition and the opposition, I don't think he's really going to stick around. So that will be interesting. We are fully aware that the women's team drew 1-1 against Crystal Palace. We are going to talk about the women in more detail on a separate podcast this week. We've got Abby coming on. We know the season started, but we're going to do a kind of a season preview. And we've also got the management duo coming on in a couple of weeks to talk all things women as well. So we will, if you listen in for kind of, you know, focus on the women's team, we are getting to it, but we're going to kind of do it a bit more justice rather than bolting it on to the end of a podcast, because, you know, they've got a big season ahead of them and, you know, a disappointing result, but it's good to get a point off the mark straight away at the weekend. So we will come to them in due course and go through with them, really. Have a really good week. Thank you so much for joining us on this quick turnaround pod. Obviously, we left it quite late last week to do it, but we got that one done. And this one, obviously, you know, fresh off the Exeter defeat. So it's good to kind of chat about that and the under-21s as well. As always, you've got any questions, comments, statements, whatever, please send them in so we can go through them and kind of add them to the podcast. Ross, have a really good week, mate, and we will catch up later on.
Yep, you as well. Looking forward to it.
And we will see you. And we'll be back on for a kind of a regular podcast, probably next Tuesday, because we play on Monday. So we'll kind of do a review of the Cambridge game and the week that was in RG2. Have a really good week. Take care. Come on, you Arse.